throughout the book of Philippians, as we've been looking at and studying it, we're seeing that he's encouraging this church to keep on keeping on, encourage this church in some of the things they're doing and how to improve and what they ought to continue to do in their lives. Now this morning, we are going to be looking at this thought of the characteristics of a lovely Christian. The characteristics of a lovely Christian. Now the opposite of a person that's lovely is a person who is unpleasant. How many of you don't have to admit it, but how many of you have ever met an unpleasant person before? How many of you have ever met a person you just don't want to be around before? Now, we're going to address this as we get into some of the characteristics. We're going to look at what this individual showed in his life and why he was considered a lovely person. But we're going to look at the contrast of that. And we're going to look at what the other side of the coin is in regards to someone that's not a lovely person. Now, as one reads the epistles of Paul, you would find out there are many individuals that were a blessing to the Apostle Paul, and there were a few that were not a blessing to the ministry of the Apostle Paul. You'll find out that most of the letters, the epistles that Apostle Paul wrote, in conclusion, at the end of it, he would thank certain people or mention certain people. In the book of Romans, he mentions 35 people at the end of that letter that he writes of individuals that were an influence and a positive influence and lovely people, if you will, to the ministry there. Now, we're going to look at a man named Epaphroditus. Epaphroditus is one that we don't know a whole lot about from history. There's a little bit of portions about him, and we're going to talk about a little bit what is said about him and what's used later on in this message. But from this portion of Scripture, we're going to see characteristics that Paul saw in Epaphroditus that made him a blessing to the ministry, made him a lovely person and a help. I want to ask a question this morning. Are you a lovely person and a blessing to the ministry of our Lord and Savior? Or are you an unpleasant person, a hindrance to the ministry? Now, it's interesting. Some of the things we're going to hit this morning go hand in hand what Brother Sommerdorf talked about and went. And I think many times when things are double done, if you will, there's a major reason and purpose. And we need to seek the truth and say, God, what are you trying to show me? What are you trying to teach me? If you're able to, please stand with me out of respect to God's word. Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 25. Let's read this together. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 25. Yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that he had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick nigh unto death, but God hath mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him, therefore, the more careful, that when we see him again, he may rejoice, and that it may be the less sorrowful. Receive him, therefore, in the Lord, with all gladness, and hold such in repetition. Because for the work of Christ, he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your word, and Lord, we ask that as we look at your word, that you would illuminate your scriptures to us. Lord, help us to see the truths you want us to glean and get a hold of. We pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. What makes a person a lovely person? You may be seated. Look at verse number 25. Look at verse number 25. What makes a person a lovely person? A lovely person. lovely believer is a person who is balanced. Who is balanced. Look at verse 25. Yet I suppose it necessary to send you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that minister to my wants. It is easy for us as a believer to get out of balance. Anyone ever have a tire go out of balance before on your car? You know, they put those little weights in your tire. And as you get a new tire, they put the tire on. They put it on this machine that spins the tire. And it shows if it's balanced or not. And then you put these little weights. You take the little hammer and you hammer it in. Now, it's interesting. You think with all our technology, they would do something different than this. Because what happens to those little weights sometimes? They fall out. As much as they're put in, right, and they're that, and you become out of balance again. I believe one of the areas that we need to struggle with in our lives as a believer, we struggle in our lives as a believer as we become out of balance, all right? This is we prone to focus on one area and not another area that we need to focus upon. We get so caught up in this area, and we're going to serve God, and we serve God with everything we have, but we don't worry about the area of spiritual growth. Or we worry about getting knowledge and understanding and teachings, but then we don't go out and witness and share the gospel with the lost and dying world. Or we share so much with the gospel that we don't take care of other things that we need to take care of our lives. And we get all into one area and this area and that area, and we don't have a balance in our Christian walk and a Christian life. You ever met a person that has gotten caught up in a bunch of rules and regulations, and they're going to live? Now, Brother Summer, I've talked about legalism, lawlessness, and liberalism. Remember the last Sunday that was during family hour? If you didn't hear that, you need to watch it on Facebook. Great message. And we get so caught up in certain things that we become unpleasant to other individuals. Because if you don't match up to how strong I am in this area, I don't care that I'm not doing this, but if you don't line up with me, we don't become a lovely person. We become an unpleasant person in our Christian walk, in our Christian life. You ever met a person that would tell you how spiritual they are because they're such a great servant of God, yet they put stuff in their body they shouldn't put in? They listen to music they shouldn't listen to. They talk ways they shouldn't talk. They do this, that. What does that do? Are you a lovely person or unlovely? You're unlovely. You are a stench, if you will. All right? The opposite of a lovely person means unpleasant or a stench. We become a stench because we're not balanced. Now, how is he balanced? I want you to look at this. What does Paul say about him? He breaks it down and he shows the characteristics that made Epaphroditus a balanced believer, which made him a lovely person. Now, his name, Epaphroditus, comes from the Greek goddess, if you will. That means lovely or charming. All right? It comes from that lovely or charming. It also means a gambler. Now, we're going to look at that later on because we're going to see that he was willing to give himself for the cause of Christ. And we're going to look at this. And his name means lovely or charming. Let me ask you. Are you lovely or charming? Now, sometimes we get funny with the word charming because we think of someone that is fake in a sense. But in this case, it's not talking about someone's fake. It's talking about someone that's true. Now, let's look at the balance in his life. Look at verse 25. My brother. Paul calls him my brother. This refers to those that are members of the same family, to those who are united in the bonds of affection. Paul says, I love old Epaphroditus, and old Epaphroditus loves me. We're a family. We're a brother. What makes a person lovely? First and foremost, you must be a believer. You must be on the same page. A balanced individual is one that first knows the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, as you look at this, a brother. What does it mean? that a brother comes together, united together. You're part of a family. A balanced believer, one who's a lovely person, understands that you are part of a family and you strive to work together. Now, let me ask you this. Is a family perfect? Is there some bumpy road sometimes in a family? But what is stronger than blood? There's not, right? Blood is strong, right? It brings you together. There are some times you've had some harsh words with some individuals in your family, but most of the time, if you're right with God and you deal with it, what happens? That bond brings you back together. That's that strong bond that he's talking about here. Every believer ought to strive to be in balance in this area. We're in this thing together as a family. We're to love one another, stand together with one another. We're to come together. Our duty is bound to be one with another. Love among the brethren is the calling of God's people. Brother Summerdorf hit this, so we're not going to spend a lot of time on this. But we get so upset with our enemies, and we're supposed to what? Love our enemies. Do you know the calling card of a believer, of a lovely Christian, is one who shows love? He says, my brother. That is a term of endearment. That is a term that is special, that calls someone brother. Have you ever called someone a brother or a sister or a mom or dad or a grandma or a grandpa or an aunt or an uncle that weren't related to you? Any of you ever done that? Why? Because there's a special tie that brings together. Now, he was balanced in this. Not only was he a brother, but also, what do we see here? And companion in labor. He was a fellow worker. In other words, he shouldered his portion of the load. Epaphroditus was not a loafer. He was a worker. Now, how many of you know what a loafer is? Have you ever met a person that wants to eat but doesn't want to work? How many ever met a person that wants the reward but doesn't want to put in what it takes to get the reward? How many worked with a person that wants the paycheck but doesn't want to do the work to get the paycheck but lets you do the work so they get the paycheck? Anyone met anyone like that? You know what I'm talking about. This is the idea here. He says he's balancing this. He's a brother, but he's also a co-laborer. He's not just saved. He's not just a person that is part of the family. He is a person that's willing to work and not loaf. You know what makes you a lovely person? Is if you're not looking for a handout, but you're looking to help someone else. That you're willing to do your part and do your work. You see, a lovely person is one who is not in it for themselves, but is in it to be a blessing and help to others. It doesn't want the free ride. You know what I mean by the free ride, right? Now, please, children, do not take this the wrong way. But most of our youth in this world and most of our kids are in it for the free ride. Do you know what I mean by that? All right. Most kids throw a fit. Now, none of our kids in our church, because they're all perfect, so this doesn't apply to them. But most kids, they don't want to do any chores in the house. Only way they do chores in the house is if they get paid. Now, wait a second. What do they get every day given to them? And they don't have to do anything for it. They get food. They get housing. They get a bed to sleep in. They get clothes to wear and shoes to wear and toothpaste to brush their teeth if they brush their teeth. And they get those things, right? They get all those things. But they don't do anything for it, and they don't want to do anything for it because they think it's their right to be able to get those things. That's mom and dad's responsibility. That's their responsibility. God gave them me, who is a gift of God. And because I'm the gift of God and blessing to them, it's their privilege to be my parents, to supply my needs, to give me what I want, when I want it. It's their responsibility. Don't ask me to do anything. I'm just in it for what I can get. We laugh at that and say, wow, that's sure like a lot of our kids. But let's look at us as believers. tell you, this is where it's going to hit. You know what we do? It's God's privilege and the church's privilege to have me as a part of that church. Does God understand what he got? Woo! When he got me. I tell you, it's God's privilege, it's the church's privilege that I would even show up on a Sunday morning. It's God's privilege. It's the church's privilege that they would have someone as good looking as me to darken the doors of that church. And with my talents and with my abilities and with everything that I have, woo, glory, they are privileged to have me. Don't expect me to do anything. Hey, Rick, did you see there was bugs in the front entrance way? Go get the broom. Chop, chop, buttercup. Go and get it. But don't expect me to do it. It's privilege enough for me just to walk in the door. There is a spot on the new carpet tiles. Hey, Brother Dick, you're a deacon. Be a servant. Go get the bucket and the stuff and take care of it right now. But don't ask me. Don't ask me. I'm just going to love. A lovely person is a person that says, I'm going to be balanced. I'm a brother. I'm part of the family. But I'm going to be a fellow worker. I'm going to be a fellow laborer. I'm going to come alongside. I'm going to help. I'm going to work. I'm going to do. And we see Epaphroditus. He was a fellow laborer. Not only was he a fellow laborer, look a little further here as we see this. It says, companion labor and fellow soldier. Now that word soldier is the first time it's used in the King James Version, is in this portion of Scripture. And this is the idea that he was not only a brother, he was not only a co-laborer, but he was a fellow soldier in God's army. Now we're not going to go back, and we did a whole study in Ephesians, and we took time to look at Ephesians chapter 6 and go back there. But this idea is they're a fellow soldier. And other times he says, don't get entangled in this world and be a good soldier. You know what Paul said about Epaphroditus? He didn't only labor, but he was willing to contend for the faith. Jude tells us there was those that crept in unaware, and there was those that contended for the faith. We need to contend for the faith. We need to be soldiers in God's army. We need to be workers and labor together and do the things that we need to do in the church. But we need to be soldiers, and we need not get to wrap up with the things of this world. And Epaphroditus was not wrapped up with the things of this world, but he understood his purpose. He understood his calling. He understood what he was supposed to do. And he understood the battle he was in and the battle that the church was in. And he was willing to go and be the soldier that he needed to be. You know what? We need good soldiers. What makes a person a good soldier? A good soldier, one of the key ingredients of a good soldier, is one who is submitted. Do you know that is the key ingredient to make a good soldier? Everything else comes. If a good soldier learns to submit. Why? Because if I learn to submit, guess what? I'm going to shine my boots. If I learn to submit, I'm going to learn to march in order. If I learn to submit, I'm going to listen to my drill instructor, even though I think he's ridiculous and crazy, but I'm going to listen and I'm going to do. I'm going to learn to follow what I'm supposed to do. A good soldier, if he learns to submit, will do what he's supposed to do and becomes a good soldier that he ought to be. You see, Epaphroditus was a good soldier. Because even though Epaphroditus had abilities and talents in those, he realized he needed to follow the Lord in what the Lord wanted. Do you know what we need to do in our lives? We need to be balanced in this area of submitting to God and being a good soldier. But not only is he burdened, not only is he balanced, Epaphroditus was balanced. That made him a lovely person. But number two, he was burdened. Look at verse 26 through verse 29. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because he had heard that he had been sick. You see, verse 26 through verse 27 tells us Epaphroditus was very sick. In fact, Paul says that he was sick nigh unto death. Now, some would say, why didn't Paul heal him? Why didn't God heal him? Why didn't this happen? Why didn't that happen? That's not the point of this. The point is, he was sick. And we see what is taking place as he is sick, knows that God, not man, is in charge of the healing process. Even though he was desperately ill, his focus was not on himself. His focus was on his brothers and sisters at Philippi. You know what makes a person lovely? Is we have a burden for others, even in spite of our circumstances. He was sick. Sick nigh to death. He was worried about the church at Philippi. And you know what he was worried at the church at Philippi? He knew that the church at Philippi was worried about him. He didn't want the church at Philippi to worry about his health. He didn't want the church at Philippi to worry about him. He says, you don't worry about my ailments. You don't worry about my sickness. You just keep serving God. You keep loving God. Don't worry about me. He was burdened for them. Do you know we have something happen in our lives? And what do? I'm sorry that you're going through some problems, but my problems are bigger than your problems. I need to focus on me right now. I know that you're struggling, and I understand that, but guess what? I'm sick, dying to death. You just have a cold. Get over your cold and look at me. Look how bad I am. God's going to probably take me home in a week. I'm more important than you at this point. No. Epaphroditus says, you don't worry about my health. You don't worry about me. I'm a lovely person. I'm a charming person. I'm a pleasant person because I'm worried about you and concerned about you. He was a people-centered person. The Philippians knew what a treasure they had in Epaphroditus. It says they rejoiced and were glad about Epaphroditus. Why? Because he was a lovely person. Now, as you see this, he cared about them. He cared about Burnham. But let me ask you this. When he was coming to them and coming back to them, they were excited to see Epaphroditus. Because they knew Epaphroditus cared for them and loved them. He was a lovely person. Now, it's going to get a little hard right now. But how do people react when they see you coming? Oh, there they come. I don't want them by me. That person's the most negative. That person is the most, that's not a lovely person. I tell you every time I'm around him, all he does is gripe and complain and murmur. And all he does is talk about this and talk about this person and talk about this and that and all the ailments. And they give all these lists and all these things and they talk about all this. Do they dread your coming because they know your attitude is negative, self-centered? Do they avoid you because they are afraid you'll give them an organ recital of all the problems and ailments you have in your life? Or does their face light up when they see you and say, wow, I can't wait to see that person? How many have seen some of these stories about moms and dads or grandma and grandpas that have been in the military? And then they surprise their loved ones of coming back early. And they come back and usually it's some type of setup and they're usually behind them. And then when that person turns and sees that person, what happens comes out of their face. Tears flow. They go, they grab, and they embrace that individual because they want that individual around them. Epaphroditus was a person they wanted around them. they wanted him. They knew he was a minister and a messenger, and he knew what they did, and they knew how they helped, and he knew all the things, and they knew that he cared about the people, and he cared about them, and he wanted to help them. But let me ask you myself a question this morning. Are we a lovely person or a pleasant person? When you walk in the church and people see you coming, what do they think? Do they say, oh, I can't wait to talk to that person? Or they say, oh, please, someone else talk to me so I don't have to talk to them again today. Oh, preacher, we're believers. We would never think that way. Get real. We do. And yes, it's on that person for having that attitude, but it's on us as well. Because we should be a pleasant person to be around. Oh, that person, all they're going to do is critique how I raise my kids. All they're going to do is critique how I dress. All they're going to do is tell me how terrible I am and how wicked I am and all the things that I've done in my life. I don't want to be around them. I don't want. Do you know what? We're brothers and sisters in Christ. We're in this together. We're serving together. We're living together. We may do things a little different. We may act a little different at times. We may have different ideas at times. We may do those things. But we're to come together and we're to embrace one another, help one another. We're to be lovely people to one another. We're to help build up the family of God. We're to help build one another. And this idea of a lovely person is one that people want around. Now, I tell you, I started thinking of people that I want around me. And I started thinking back throughout my life of people that I would want to be around me because they were a help to me. And I started thinking of individuals, and names started coming to my mind of those individuals. Then I started thinking about people that I wish weren't around me. And I started thinking of those individuals. And I started thinking of those names. Jerry, Rex. No, just kidding. I started thinking of those names. I started thinking of those names. And then I said, okay, what makes a person I want to be around? What makes a person I don't want to be around? Then I did this. What type of person am I? Am I a person that I want, that people want around? That people are big hands when they see me and go, "Woo! I can't wait to see you." I mean, is that the type of person that I am in my life? You feeling left out? Is that the type of person that we see? But I want you to see another thought. As he's balanced, he's balanced in his work, he's balanced in his burden, but he's balanced in his bravery. Look at verse 30. Because for the work of Christ, he was nigh to death, not regarding his life to supply your lack of service towards me. Because he understood his calling. And let me say this. Do you know every believer has a calling? It's not just talking about those in ministry. We're all in ministry. It's not talking about those that went off to a Bible college and got a degree and got their ordination or their license to preach. It's not talking about that. What it's talking about is all those that are in Christ have a calling to serve Christ. He understood his calling, and because he understood his calling, he didn't even care about his life because Christ was more important. You know what? You know what makes you a lovely person? When you and I realize means we lay it all out. That we put it all out on the table, if you will. He is giving up what people think is important and realizing what's important is Christ. He's brave in saying he's not regarding his life. Do you know how many of us regard our lives? You know why we don't do certain things? Because we're afraid it might hinder what we want. Jim Elliot, most of you know Jim Elliot. He didn't regard his life. He went and he did what God called him to do, and his life was taken. There's others that you could read. You could read the books of Fox's Book of Martyrs. You can read about individuals who did not regard their lives because they realized what they were supposed to do. Throw aside or throw down is what that means of not regarding your life. It means your life takes a back seat to the things of God. It makes you a lovely person. You know what made Epaphroditus a lovely person, a charming person, the characteristics there? He was near death and said, I'm still going to keep going. It doesn't matter. He didn't sit down and,
oh, I tell you, my life is almost done. And I've done all this. And now God's going to take me home. I don't want the pain that I'm going through. I don't want the struggle.
What he said is this. I don't regard my life. All that I've gone through doesn't matter. Because there's a bigger picture, a bigger prize. This world's not my home. I'm just a passing through. There's something far greater. I'm not building up treasures here on this earth. I'm building up treasures in heaven. There's something far greater. And he didn't regard his life. Look at this as we put this all together this morning. For he longed, verse 26, for he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because he had heard they had been sick. For indeed he was sick nigh to death, but God hath mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more careful, that when he see him again, he may rejoice, and that it may be less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation, because for the work of Christ, for his nigh to death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service towards me. He did what he needed to do, no matter what he was facing. I want you to think about this morning. He understood his circumstances, but he understood his calling was greater than his circumstances. That's what made him a lovely person. You see, he was balanced. He was balanced. He was balanced in who he was. He was balanced in his work. He was balanced in his labor. He was balanced in his family. He was balanced in his burden. He was balanced in his bravery. That's what made him a lovely person. And they rejoiced and they wanted him to come. Epaphroditus. I said all this to bring this to the conclusion. We started off and asked a question this morning. Are you a lovely person or are you an unpleasant person? Are you a person people want and embrace you when you come, or are there people that see you and go the other way because they don't want to hear the negative and all the things that we mentioned already? But let's get this right down here to us. I believe in our day and age, we have many believers who are not lovely. They are very unpleasant individuals. issue that comes behind everything is that of our heart isn't where it ought to be. Because backing all this up, what made Epaphroditus not regard his life, what made Epaphroditus a fellow soldier and a fellow laborer and fellow things, who didn't care about his circumstances, who didn't care about all that, who understood that he was a brother, understood all the things that we talked about, what got him to that point is God had his heart. I said this under the soldier. What makes a good soldier is the one key ingredient that makes someone a good soldier is one that learns to submit. And what that idea of submitting is giving our heart to God. What made Epaphroditus who he was and a lovely person is God had his heart. Do you know what God needs of us this morning? You know what God needs? God needs your heart. God needs my heart. Do you know if God has a heart, that's going to change your demeanor. That's going to change you from an unpleasant person to a lovely person. That's going to change you from a person that understands what we're supposed to be doing and having the right motives and the right attitude and the right love and doing it. It's going to change those things. You see, if God has my heart, if God has my heart, I'm not going to be negative. I'm not going to be complaining. I'm not going to be critical. I'm not going to have my way. I'm not going to always have to be right. I'm not going to have to do all the things, those things. I'm going to be a lovely, pleasant person who's around one another to help one another, build one another up when God has my heart. God had Epaphroditus' heart. And that changed his whole outlook on his life. When God has your heart, it will change the whole outlook of your life and my life. You see, verse 29 tells us Philippian believers to hold Epaphroditus in repetition. That phrase means to prize and consider precious. He said, consider Epaphroditus precious because of who he is and what he's done. We all know what a precious gift is. A precious gift is not one that always costs the most money. A precious gift is not one that always looks the look. A precious gift is one that you see love in it. And Epaphroditus was precious because of the love they saw, because his heart was surrender to God. Are you a precious gift? I'm not saying that you have the fanciest clothes and you look the part. I'm saying, are you a precious gift this morning to God and to this church? To other believers? I'm not saying, are you a precious gift in the sense that you know how to write a check and put it in the offering plate. I'm not saying you're a precious gift because you know how to say amen and praise the Lord and do this. You're a precious gift when you're balanced. God has your heart. You're serving God, and love is shown in our lives. A precious gift adds to the ministry, doesn't take away from the ministry. Do you know if we precious gifts, but there's times we've been unpleasant gifts. How many ever have done a gag gift exchange before? Now, gag gift exchanges are very interesting because most of the time, those gag gifts are not pleasant. I remember several years ago, the teens did a gag gift, and they did this gag gift thing, and they talk about more of the practical joke style and different that. Someone got a package, I believe it was wrapped in toilet paper, and they opened it up, and it looked like someone's waist was in the toilet paper. It was a Snickers bar, but they made it look like something else. And let me tell you, the person that got that gift did not think that was a pleasant gift. Now, there was someone else in the group at that time, and he may be watching, Isaac, that took that gift and took a bite out of it and grossed everyone else out in the whole wide world. Now, we know what a pleasant gift is and an unpleasant gift. Let me ask you this morning, what type of gift are you? Epaphroditus was a pleasant, charming person that added to the ministry and didn't take away from the ministry. He wasn't a loafer. He was a servant. What type of person are we? Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for